You are listening to a message from ICS Church. For more information about ICS Church, please visit us online at ics.church or like us on facebook.com/ICS Church.
Hey again, it's a happy Resurrection Sunday to each one. We trust that you are all well and enjoying this very special day. We're going to go straight into the Word this morning, and the title of the message today is Eyewitness, Eyewitness. For many hundreds of years now, Christians around the world have been celebrating Resurrection Sunday. You know, Easter, this whole week is a pivotal point in our history, because without the events that took place during Easter, during Holy Week, our faith would pretty much be meaningless. Here's a statement I want to share with you guys today. Without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our faith is meaningless. Right? All that we do, Sunday in, every week, reading the Bible, praying, all of that is meaningless without the death and ultimately the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is what we're celebrating on this Sunday, the resurrection of Christ. Why? Because we believe that the resurrection of Jesus changes everything. This changes everything. Without the resurrection of Christ, what we do will just be something nice, you know, on Sundays, in our small groups, the prayer that we pray, you know, these are all good teachings that Jesus had, but we're not just following a teaching. We're not just following a man. We really believe that Jesus is the Son of God who was on earth, who lived sinlessly while he was on earth, who was born through the Virgin Mary, died on the cross, and 3 days later, resurrected, never to die again. The faith of Christians, the Christian faith, hinges on these things. Without the death and resurrection of Christ, all that we do is meaningless. And so that's what we celebrate today. We really believe that Jesus really walked on earth, died, and resurrected. And that has caused our lives to be changed from the inside out. So if you're not a Christian and you're listening to this today, you know, just to tune in, don't change it or don't switch me off right now, but just kind of lean in and find out why we believe what we believe. Why do we believe on these things so strongly? One of the things that's really important in the Christian faith are eyewitness accounts. Because when Jesus went to the cross, there were people who saw him crucified on the cross. There were people who watched him be brought down from the cross, wrapped up, and put into the tomb of Joseph the Arimathean. Right? They saw that. They saw how the stone was rolled over the tomb, how it was sealed. They saw guards stationed at that place. But a few days later, they would come back to that place and find out that his body no longer is. All these things took place, and it's found in the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John have their own different accounts of these things. And we're going to look at one of the passages today, one of these accounts that was investigated. He wasn't a personal witness, but he investigated everybody that was still alive in the first century who witnessed all of this taking place. I think one of the strongest positions that we find here is that it's not just the Bible, it's not just the disciples who witnessed this event. There were also pagan historians who actually recorded these events happening in history. So it wasn't just something that was made up by several hundred disciples, you know, who had a huge conspiracy theory about the death and resurrection of Jesus. No, there were actually pagan, non-Christians, non-Christ followers who also witnessed these events and wrote it down. One of them was a man by the name of Cornelius Tacitus. Now, if you're a history buff, you would know this name very well. Why? Because he is a recognized authority in ancient history, specifically ancient Roman history. Tacitus lived in AD 55 to 120. So pretty much the first century, about the time that Jesus was on earth, still the time when the disciples were also here on earth. And Tacitus actually recorded witnessing the trial of Jesus. You know, he was the only one in ancient history who even wrote down Pontius Pilate, right? And this is a guy that is recognized as a pagan historian, right? Ancient history is leaned on him when it comes to Roman history. He actually quotes Pontius Pilate as the one presiding over the judgment, the trial of Jesus Christ that traditionally we witnessed a few days ago, you know, this past week in Holy Week. And he records it down that Pontius Pilate was the one that oversaw the trial of Jesus. He was the one that was there that oversaw ultimately the crucifixion of Jesus and his ultimate death. So that gives us a very strong reliability in terms of what we find in the Gospels, that these things were actually in alignment with what the Gospel writers wrote. There was a pagan historian who put it down in record. And there's another guy as well. I mean, there were several that we could quote, but two guys I want to bring up. One is Tacitus, and the other one is Flavius Josephus. This was a pagan Jew. This was a guy, again, he's Jewish, but he wasn't a follower of Jesus. And Josephus also recorded witnessing this event that took place in the first century. In fact, he talked about how pivotal this moment was, that the crucifixion of Christus, of Christ, took place on the eve of Passover. So being Jewish himself, he understood the ceremonies. He was there in Jerusalem during this time, and he recorded it. He said, you know, this guy named Christus or Christ was crucified on this day. And 3 days later, a pagan recording it down, he was resurrected from the dead. This was a guy who never, there is no record of Josephus actually ever becoming a follower of Jesus Christ. Yet he records this in his writings. Again, a recognized historian. Two, just some of ancient historians who actually record specifically this event, the Holy Week event, the Easter event, happening in the first century. So it's not just the Christians who were around during that time who were recalling these events. There were pagans who were around, who were actually writing it down, recording it, and ultimately being recognized even by modern historians who recognize these events. So when it comes to the historicity of these events that just took place this past week, again, there's strong evidence from historians that these things actually did take place, that this story, this event, was not just something that the Christians made up. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John didn't just come together and decided, hey, you know what? Let's write about these events and let's be specific about it. No, there's no record of them actually coming together and consulting one another's work so that these details would be there. But these details are there in the Gospels, and not just in the Gospels, in pagan historian records as well. We find the histories of this past week taking place. But today, we want to look at what Luke discovered. Luke was not one of the close disciples of Jesus. In fact, he was a doctor by profession, and he ended up investigating these claims of Christ. Now, why is this important? This is important because without these truths that we lean on and we hang on, all that we have is just an imaginative idea, right? Good statements that Jesus made. But the reality is this is recorded in history as things that exactly happen. So we're going to go to the Gospel of Luke. This is found in the New Testament. And in Luke chapter 1 and verse 1, it says this: many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. So Luke went about investigating eyewitness accounts of exactly what took place during the Holy Week, during that week of Passover, just before Passover began in Jerusalem. This is his own account of the life of Jesus Christ from the time he was born all the way to his death. Again, eyewitness accounts in the first century. With this in mind, in verse 3 he says, "Since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I too decided to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught." So Luke decides to write his own investigation on the claims of Christ, on the history of Jesus, about his claims, about his teachings, about his life. Primarily, it says here, it's directed to Theophilus. Experts tell us that Theophilus most likely was the one who sponsored this writing, or somebody who was interested and headed up, funded this investigation, this campaign that Luke underwent. Luke is a doctor by profession. So the way that he went about investigating these things was through the scientific method. He interviewed many eyewitnesses in the first century who at that point were still alive, who probably met, talked with, and witnessed Jesus in their own life. So this is the record that we find in the Gospel of Luke. He writes about the birth of Jesus, how Jesus lived, the teachings of Christ, all the way to his death. So we're going to fast forward specifically today as Resurrection Sunday as to what Luke discovered about the resurrection of Christ. So go towards the very end of the Gospel of Luke, and in chapter 24 in verse 1, here is what Luke discovered. He said, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, after the death of Jesus Christ, the woman took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the woman bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, 'The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again.'" Then they remembered his words. So again, the woman came to the tomb after Jesus had been crucified and he had been put into that cave. They came expecting to find his body, probably to put spices on it and make sure that, you know, it's preserved well to honor the body. But they don't find the body there. Instead, they find what scholars tell us are most likely angelic beings right here, who begin to speak to them and inform them that he is no longer here, just like Jesus said, just like he predicted when he was still, when he did not yet die, that was going to happen. Let's continue reading in verse 9. "When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11. These are the 11 disciples. And to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the woman because their words seemed to them like nonsense." Now, it's interesting. You know, if God was ever going to tell people the good news that he had resurrected, culturally, this was one of those things. I mean, I love women, but culturally, you wouldn't use women, because in that culture, women were not highly regarded. In fact, they're not easily believed. But here, right here, it shows to us the case for women. So for those of us who are against women preachers, I mean, it's very clear here. Without the women, maybe we would not have heard that Jesus resurrected from the dead, because it was the women that God chose to reveal this truth too, and it was the women who first informed other people about the good news that Jesus was no longer there, that he had resurrected from the dead. But just like popular culture back then, the men who listened and the people who were there did not believe them. They thought they were crazy. right? They thought that they were crazy. Peter, however, tells us in the story, got up and ran to the tomb. He wanted to be sure for himself. I'm like, you know, I'm not just going to listen to the words that these women are saying. I want to see it for myself. I mean, that's just the character of Peter, you know? He just goes off and does it. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. And there are so many people today that are continuing to do that. They're like, you know, again, thousands if not millions of Christians around the world right now are remembering the Holy Week, remembering, commemorating the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I'm sure maybe for some of you who are listening, you're wondering, I mean, is there even any truths to this? Just like Peter was asking, is this really true? Is this really true? I want to see it for myself. And as an eyewitness, he himself saw the empty tomb, saw the linen that was used to wrap the body of Jesus, and yet the body was nowhere to be found. Now, in the following verses, we find here two disciples walking on the road to Emmaus. This is a town near Jerusalem. And it tells us in the story that while they were walking, they were so distraught about what just happened. Jesus died, and now somebody probably stole his body. It's missing. We don't know what has happened. There's a rumor that's going around that he resurrected from the dead. What is really going on? And while they're walking, Jesus appears and begins to walk with them, yet they were not able to recognize him. And in this discussion, he reminds them, isn't this exactly what Jesus told you guys was going to happen? Isn't this exactly what he predicted would happen? And they have a conversation with him. They even sit down, and while they're having a meal, they invite him over to spend time with them. But, you know, he goes on ahead of them, and by the time he disappears from their sight, they realize that it was actually Jesus. That's what the story says. So immediately they ran back to the disciples, telling them, reporting to them, hey, we have encountered Jesus. First, there was the empty tomb, and now there are actually other disciples who are starting to witness Jesus back from the dead. And so while they're talking, they're sitting around talking with one another, Jesus appears, and we pick up the story there in verse 36 of Luke 24. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. That's probably an important statement to make, right? Because the last time these disciples saw him, he was on the cross. The last time they saw him, he was being put into the tomb. For all they knew, he had died. And right now, some of them are thinking, man, somebody stole the body of Jesus. He's no longer here. All of a sudden, he appears, affirming and confirming what other disciples have been saying, that the rumor was actually not a rumor. It was true. Jesus truly resurrected from the dead because he was right there in the flesh, in the midst of them. They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. I'm sure I would be too, right? All of us, at some point in our journey, would have witnessed, would have heard of somebody dying. And if we heard that all of a sudden this person would appear physically in front of us, first of all, that's really impossible, right, to happen, aside from what we read in scriptures. And so for him to appear all of a sudden in a locked room would really be scary. And so he assured them, he said, peace be with you. They were startled because they thought he was a ghost. He said to them, why are you troubled and why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch and see me. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. When he said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while he still did not believe it, they still did not believe it. Because of joy and amazement, he asked them, do you have anything here to eat? Some of them were still doubting. And so it was like, okay, these guys think I'm a spirit, I'm a ghost. All right, do you guys have anything to eat? They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Again, these were books that were written. These were prophecies that were given hundreds of years before Jesus ever came on earth physically. And these were prophecies about the Messiah. Jesus had been teaching his disciples. He had been telling them that these things were going to be fulfilled. But I guess when they saw him die on the cross, all of their hopes were dashed. All of their hopes fell to the ground because they thought what they thought was different from what Jesus and what God had planned. Then he opened their minds, the story tells us, so that they could understand the scriptures. He told them, this is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Then he had led them out of the vicinity of Bethany. He lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was still blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and stayed continually at the temple praising God. The resurrection of Jesus Christ changes everything. Now, Jesus expressed this to them. In fact, he made the statement to the temple leaders, to religious laws. He said, you know, destroy this temple and in 3 days, I will raise it up again. Jesus had already predicted his death and his resurrection. And finally, here it was, he had fulfilled it. He had fulfilled it. Not many of them understood that when he was saying it during that time. And I'm sure the disciples were not expecting Jesus resurrect from the dead. Even though they did see him raise Lazarus back from the dead, for whatever reason, many of them had fears. Many of them at this point, at the crucifixion of Christ, again, they were feeling fearful and hopeless. So Jesus finally, when he resurrected and began to appear, not just to them, but to many disciples, for a period of 40 days, this was his way of assuring them and reminding them and showing them that he truly was the Son of God. It was actually not just these disciples that he appeared to. For 40 days, several hundred other disciples saw and witnessed the resurrected Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but have you ever tried to keep a lie? Have you ever tried to put a conspiracy theory on the go? It's hard to keep a lie going. Ultimately, somebody's going to come up and really tell the truth. To coordinate a lie is hard, if not impossible. But several eyewitnesses saw Jesus resurrect from the dead. And many of them would go on to tell others about this. The same fearful disciples that were there, afraid of their own life, would be infused by the Spirit of God to be bold witnesses, telling people about the good news that Jesus, who you crucified, has resurrected from the dead, never to die evermore. They would take the story all the way to their grave. Some of them would be threatened with death, would be sawed in half, would be crucified upside down to mock them because of the crucifixion of Christ. And yet none of them ever denied the story. None of them ever shrunk back from faith and belief in Jesus Christ. Why? Because they saw it. There were eyewitnesses. An eyewitness is a strong testimony to tell the truth. In any court of law, when you have an eyewitness testimony of what happened, the judge will believe that over everything else that was said. Why? Because as an eyewitness, you are laying your reputation on the line. And for these early disciples, it wasn't just their reputation, it was their entire life that they laid on the line. And many of them would go to their deaths without changing that story at the threat of government, at the threat of persecution, and ultimately at the threat of death. They would not deny this truth. Why? Because they saw it for themselves. This is the reason for our belief today as followers of Jesus Christ. It's not just a nice story that we believe, that we celebrate, that we watch as a play or in a movie. No, this is real. It's not fairy tale. There were eyewitnesses to Jesus' death and resurrection. And there were eyewitnesses to the eyewitnesses who were not even followers of Jesus. And yet, in their own testimonies, they expressed that belief that this really happened in history. These individuals who laid their life, who talked about it, really did exist. And they saw them even die in their own life. What hope do we have because of this resurrection? The resurrection gives us, first of all, new life. New life. Because of the life that Jesus lived on earth, while He was here, it was a perfect, sinless life. And while He was here on earth, He encouraged and He invited anybody who would choose to follow Him to come and live according to the kingdom of God, of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And for many of them, some of them thought, man, this is really hard to do, maybe even impossible. But because of the resurrection of Christ and sending of His presence, the Holy Spirit, we know today that that new life is possible. That we can experience a renewed life. We don't have to live a life imprisoned by sin. We don't have to be trapped by evil, by doing things that are wrong. No, because of Jesus, we know that there is a new way. And He says all we need to do is to trust in Him. He is the way to the Father. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one can go to our loving Heavenly Father unless we follow Him. He gives us new life. At the same time, Jesus' resurrection gives us a new hope. What is that new hope? That hope that this life is not all there is. That the life that Jesus calls us to live is beyond this lifetime. That there is an eternal home. That there is a place where we could enjoy eternity with God, free from sin, free from sickness, free from disease, free from death and evil, never to die evermore. And that is God's presence. That is why today we don't need to be afraid of death. We don't need to be afraid of sickness. You know, when you talk to Christians today, there is that hope around the world, despite of the difficulties that we are facing, brought about by this virus, this disease, the difficulty in terms of lack, in terms of freedom of movement, there is still joy in the church and in the life of every believer. Why? Because our hope rests in Jesus Christ, who's not in a tomb, who's not commemorated by a statue. No, our hope rests in the Savior who lives, who is alive, who sits on the right-hand throne of God, interceding for us, lifting us up, encouraging us, sending us His Holy Spirit so that we could be victorious in our everyday life. This is the hope that we have, that even if we die physical death, we will not be separate from the lover of our soul. That will just move us to something so much better. Eternity in His presence. And so today you say, well, how can I witness this? I mean, that's good for them in the first century. They were there. They saw Jesus. They saw what He did. You know the beauty about this? Just like what Jesus told the disciples, He said, don't leave the city. Wait for the power. That power is the Holy Spirit. He is our counselor. He is our comforter. He is the one who will help us and guide us into all truth. Today, if you desire to know the resurrected Jesus Christ, you can know Him not just by reading the Scriptures. That would be the best place to start. Read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Find out about His story. Find out what ancient historians have to say about Him and early believers. But more than that, you can actually personally know Him by praying and talking to Him. And the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, He Himself will reveal Himself to you so that you could experience that life. And in doing so, be a witness to His truth and His reality today. Today is Resurrection Sunday. And today, if you're feeling death and defeat in your life, hey, Jesus can resurrect that. If you feel that there is no hope for your future, hey, that's the reason why Jesus came to this earth. For every believer, for every Christian, we need to remind ourselves that the hope that we have does not rest on the things of man, does not rest in the direction of this world. No, our hope rests in Jesus Christ, who lives, who is alive, who constantly abides in us through His Spirit. Paul beautifully states this hope to us today. In his letter to the Corinthian believers, Paul, who was a follower of Jesus, writes this down. He says, "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Death was the final blow of sin over our life. But because Jesus resurrected from the dead, He broke the curse of sin and death. We have hope today because Jesus is the reason for our victory. As we surrender our life to Him, He will apportion to us that victory. We will experience that victory above sin, above death, and experience full life in Jesus Christ. If that's your desire today, would you just join with me right now in prayer? Let's come to the Lord together. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for your love for us. Jesus, thank you so much for coming to this earth, for being like the least of us, for going all the way to the cross. It should have been us there. As we have celebrated, was reminded today through communion, but you did it, Lord. Today, Lord, for anyone who is fearful of death, who is losing hope, Lord, because of your resurrection, today we know that our assurance of a future is in you. Assurance of life forever is in you. And so, Lord God, today, would you forgive us of every sin? Would you come, Lord, and lead us today? Be our Savior. Be your Master. And for those of us who are believers, followers of you, Lord God, remind us today of the resurrection power that resides in us. That we don't need to fear death. We don't need to fear all the things that's happening around us that chooses to attack us, to destroy us, to steal our joy. Because the Savior that we serve lives forever, loves us, continues to intercede for us, and has sent His Spirit, your Spirit, to fill us, to abide in our life. That is our hope. And we continue to yield and to hold on to you every day of our life. Thank you, Jesus, for your life, your sacrifice, and your grace that's poured out. We celebrate you today and every day. In Jesus' name, amen. We pray that you continue to celebrate the resurrected life of Jesus in your life each day and every day. Thank you so much for being with us today. Just keep the stream going. We have some reminders to encourage you about in the next couple of minutes. God bless you. We'll see you again soon.
We pray that you are encouraged by this message. For more information about ICS Church, please visit us online at ics.church or like us on facebook.com/ICS Church.